All right. Well, good evening. Welcome you guys out tonight. We'll start with a few announcements, and then we'll get into our devotion. And so thank you guys for coming out. Pray you've had a blessed week so far, a great week, enjoying the grace of the Lord. So a couple announcements. Many of you probably have already seen around in the lobby, especially, or in the hallway here, we are going to be doing shoeboxes, some boxes out there, empty ones you can grab for Operation Christmas Child. In your bulletin, you'll see there's a insert that's going to walk you through everything with shoeboxes, what to do, and all of that. So that's going to be going on. With that, though, don't forget that we do have the drop-off location. We will be a drop-off location this year. And so out at the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet that has a few different spots that are needed. Some of the spots, they're two-hour spots. Some of them have like two people signed up, but there's more blank lines. So really, you can fill up all those lines. So even if there's a couple people already signed up on that time slot, you can add into that if you would like. And so that's going to be the week of the 17th through the 24th. And it's Monday to Monday, but it's only 2 hours a day, and the time changes depending on the day. We try to hit as many different options for people to get after work, during the day, Sunday afternoon, those kind of things. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can. And then just a reminder as well, we have this month's collection going on, and there's a box out here in the lobby. You can see there's a sign on there. It talks about what we're looking for, which is like clothing and accessories, and then monetary donations to help with shipping the boxes. So lots of things involving Operation Christmas Child, which is through Samaritan's Purse. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Also want to let you know that the student ministry, we'll talk more about this, or Pastor Greg will talk more about this on Sunday, is starting their fruit basket ministry collection. And so at the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet where you can sign up to donate certain items to this ministry. And what this is the student ministry, our high school ministry and junior hires, they put together fruit baskets, and then they deliver them to shut-ins or widows and widowers through our church, or that are connected to our church around Thanksgiving. And we do that to be a blessing to them. And so you can have a hand in that. And again, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. There's two pages, so just note that. There's actually two pages there. Different things you can sign up to be a part of adding to that fruit basket. Harvest Hayride is coming up on October 25th, so you don't want to miss out on that. It's going to be here at the church. It's a Saturday from 6 to 9. We're going to have a hayride. We're going to have good food, good fellow. Hallelujah Quilters is doing their craft retreat on the 7th and the 8th. So you can sign up for that at the Welcome Center. And again, we have Discovering Church membership is this Sunday and next Sunday. So we have two classes. It's both Sundays. It's at 4:30. And it's, again, for anyone interested in just knowing more about our ministry here, what it means to be a member of the church, what we believe, all those good things. So if that's something of interest to you, you definitely want to be a part of that. And then also this Sunday evening is the student ministry snack night. So that's Sunday night after church. So again, don't miss out on that. If you have a teen that would like to be a part of that, we'd love to have them join us. So lots of great things going on. Any questions or comments about any upcoming events or activities? Questions or comments about any upcoming events or activities? I thought Kelly was raising her hand, but she was just waving at Kelsey. That's cool. Messing with me. No? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask him to bless our time together. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for tonight and just an opportunity to gather and worship and just to be in your house. And Lord, we thank you for these that could be here tonight. And we thank you for the children that are here, Lord, the students. We just pray that in every ministry you would just be glorified, Lord, that you would bless those who are sharing your word, that it would be a blessing and encouragement to those that receive it. We pray, Father, first and foremost, that if there's anybody that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they would come to know you tonight before they leave this place. And that those who do know Christ would grow in their walk and disciplines of the Christian life with you. And they would just come to grow in an intimacy with Christ as well. Father, we thank you for every leader, volunteer, small group leader, helper. Lord, just so vital to what you're doing here. We're just so thankful for it. And Father, we pray that you would just be glorified in all that is said and done. Be with us in this service as we go through the idea of just hearing from you and listening for your word and being responsive to that. And Lord, again, for your glory and our blessing. Lord, we give you all the praise for all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I do have a handout for you. No fill in the blank, just an outline. So if I can get a volunteer that would like to hand out some handouts. I should just give it to Paige like every week and just be like, here you go. Thank you, ma'am. So this is just kind of an outline of what we're going to be talking about tonight. You can go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is where we're going to be tonight. So open your Bibles or open your Bible app, whatever's convenient. John chapter 10. The last few weeks, last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the study through angels. So we talked about some different aspects of that, both heavenly angels and our adversary, the devil, and all the different things involving that. So if you missed that or weren't with us, you're welcome to go on our app or on our website, and you can find those messages. But tonight, because on Wednesday nights, we kind of do a variety of studies. Tonight, we're doing kind of a mini study, maybe one night, maybe two, not sure yet, just see where we're ending up tonight, on the idea of hindrances to hearing from God, hindrances to hearing from God. And so just some basic things that maybe we can begin to evaluate in our own lives and our own understanding and ask ourselves, are we hearing from the Lord? And I don't mean audibly, but are we hearing from him through his word and through other ways that he speaks through others even in our lives? And so if we're not experiencing that, maybe looking at some things that could be hindering that relationship, that intimacy with the Lord. As I've always said, if there's something on you'd like to study or talk about, we can look into that, whether it be a Bible book study or a topic or a passage or whatever it might be. I'm always looking for any interest from you guys, something you might want to study or look into. And so if you have something, I can't tell you when we're going to look at it. I can't even guarantee we will look at it, depending on where the Lord leads. But I'd love to hear that, either for an upcoming or future study. So just keep that in mind as well. The one we did on our adversary, the devil, we talked about that topic and the angels and all of that because somebody just kind of recommended it a couple months ago. So it really did fit well in the timeline. So if you look at your handout there, the first thing we want to do, and this is not for you to answer out loud necessarily, these are just some kind of questions to get our minds going individually. And the first question we're going to ask is, how often are you in the Word? How often are you in the Word? If that just says in Word, that's not right. How often are you in the Word? So if yours just doesn't have the, put a the there. You can write it there. You can just pretend it's there. Either way, that's where it goes. So how often are you in the Word, and how long do you read before getting distracted? So just a couple questions. You don't have to write down an answer right now if you don't have a pen or anything. It's just to think about. And for you, what would you say would be an answer to that just for yourself? Like, how often are you in the Word? Is it every morning? Is it a couple times a day? Is it once a week? When you are in the Word, when you are studying and reading, it's okay to admit that sometimes we get distracted, right? Sometimes our phone buzzes. Now our watches can buzz, right, and alert us to something. Somebody enters the room. If you got children at home, that can happen quite often. There's a distraction. The idea of spending time with the Lord and listening. How long do you read before getting distracted? And then I guess another way to look at it is, based on the answer to those questions, if you would say, man, I'm not really in the Word like I should be. I don't really spend as much time in the Word like I know I should, or I get distracted really, really easy. A follow-up question, I guess, would be, does that bother you? Like, does that bother you that you aren't in the Word more? And if it does, then you can take steps to rectify that and make a change. You can start immediately. You don't need to beat yourself up over it. Just make a decision to say, Lord, I want to be in your Word. And again, we're speaking as those who know Christ, right? We're speaking as those who are followers of Christ. That's that desire comes from that relationship. Another question we might ask in regards to hearing from the Lord and spending time with him in his Word, what keeps you from really being consistent? So think about what really keeps you from being consistent in your time of Bible study. A lot of believers, when I've listened and read different stats and things like that, a lot of Christians struggle with consistent daily Bible study, consistent daily devotions. A lot of Christians have great intentions, and they start really strong. They get a few days in, and then something comes up, or you know, there's a distraction, or you're just off schedule, and then you miss one day, you miss 2 days, and what do you think most Christians do after they miss that second day? How do they start feeling? Guilty, right? They start beating themselves up. So then what do? They miss the third day because they feel so bad about missing the first 2 days. And now they're 3 days behind. And what do they feel like doing? Just quitting, right? Man, I can't do this. I can't even do 5 days. I can't do 7 days. It's one of the reasons why I love Word of Life and what Word of Life instills in young people to spend daily time with the Lord, right? Every single day trying to spend time with him. So if you're honest, what keeps you from really being consistent? Is it scheduling? Is it just making the time and setting the time aside? Is it, I don't know what to study? I want to study the word. I just don't know where to start. A lot of people can run into that. And so what would be a solution to that? Asking another Christian friend that you trust, hey, what are you doing for your own Bible study right now? Or talking to myself or someone in the church that you know has an active devotional life. Hey, what do you do when you study the word? And remember, when you're trying to help somebody, if somebody comes to you and says, what are you studying? We're not trying to teach them to mimic us, right? And what we do. We're just trying to teach them the pattern of spending time with the Lord. It's going to look different. Some of you are like 5 a.m, you wake up and you're ready to tackle the world. Like you're full of energy, you're excited, you're happy, it's 5:15, you're smiling. Like, and then there's people like me who wake up at 6:15. I don't say pretty much no words until 7:15, right? I'm like, nobody talk to me, nobody look at me. I'm not really like that, but I can be, right? Some of you are morning people. Some of you do your studying when you get home from work. And that, like that time, maybe right after dinner, you like to spend some quality time with the Lord. Some of you do it on your lunch break. You spend a good 30 minutes with the Lord on your lunch break. Or some are maybe throughout the day, you're praying and spending time with the Lord. It's always going to look, not doing that consistently, identify what's the problem is there, or what's going on there that's causing you to be distracted. Because it really can be something simple, right? It can be something pretty simple. I can tell you guys, for me, just being kind of a little bit transparent, when I study the word, obviously people kind of laugh at this, but it's kind of my job to study the word, right? It's my job to write sermons and prepare messages. So one of the things in my devotional life that can be a little bit of a challenge is I study for a message and I can convince myself that that was good enough, that I don't really need to spend extra time studying because I studied for an hour on that passage or that chapter and I'm good. But I have to spend time with the Lord personally as well so that I can then communicate God's word to you guys, right? And so I've kind of fallen into that trap where it's like, I did prepare for a sermon, but that wasn't devotional time. Now, I find it interesting. A lot of times my devotional life, whatever I'm reading in my devotional life, bleeds over into my sermon prep because I find it's amazing how the Lord will be kind of encouraging me in something, and then it'll turn up into a message or a sermon weeks, months down the road, and then people will come up and say, man, God was really speaking to me on that too. I appreciate you sharing that. And it's just so cool how God interweaves all of that, right? How he works through all of that. So again, we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes the biggest reason I'm not consistent in my daily time in the word is laziness. I just don't feel like it. I just don't want to get up that little bit early. I just don't want to spend time. So what do? We have to decide who's really, or what really is my priority? Is it self or is it Christ? And if it's Christ and I know it's going to benefit me, then we can choose to spend time with him, right? So I want to look at a passage because sometimes we can get discouraged when we do not hear God speak to us or think it isn't worth the effort. However, the truth is God wants to speak to us through his word. I truly believe that. God always wants to speak to us through his word. It may not always feel like it, but I believe he is talking to us and communicating us, again, through his word, not necessarily audibly. John chapter 10, look at verse 14 through 16. I'd love to get... Who would like to read that for us? On that, going once. Okay, I was going to call on that Jeff, but that Jeff works too, so yeah.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. So this is a pretty famous passage. It's dealing with the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, right? He is that one who leads, guides. He lays down his life for his sheep. And when you read this passage, it's pretty amazing. When you get to verse 16, that phrase there, that we hear his voice. We know his voice. And what's really interesting is there's an intimacy, right, between us as the sheep and him as the shepherd. And in actual shepherds and sheep and that relationship, there's a level of connection there as well. That's why Jesus is using this as an illustration. And so in the time of Christ in the first century, there would be a sheep pen, right, with actually few dozen flocks in it or multiple flocks of sheep all in one pen. And what would happen is the shepherd would call to the sheep, and the sheep that recognized the shepherd's voice would follow that shepherd out of the pen. The other sheep wouldn't follow. they would actually flee from. And they've done actually, because I've always heard that, and I was like, okay, is that really true? And I've looked into it, and scientifically, they've done tests on this. A sheep will hear their shepherd's voice and will follow and respond. But if a stranger or not the shepherd uses the same commands, says the same words, the sheep will actually be repelled. They'll actually flee from that person because they've grown an intimacy, a connection with the shepherd. What's interesting is the time together increases the relationship. The more time the shepherd spends with the sheep, the more the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And what's interesting, it's not just the voice, but it's also the way the shepherd cares for them. Sheep learn to associate their shepherd's voice with the provision of food, water, and protection. This positive association builds their trust in the shepherd. So it's not just the voice. They do hear the voice and they follow, but it's more than that. They know this shepherd is there to care for them, to guide them, to protect them, to provide for them. It's actually, again, interesting. Scientific tests have proven that sheep can distinguish between different human and even sheep vocalizations and will respond to a familiar voice even when the words themselves are copied. That's pretty interesting. And I love that Jesus uses this example. So think of it in our walk with Christ. We're his sheep because we're in Christ. We're saved. We're redeemed. He's adopted us, right, into the family of God. He laid down his life for us. And now as his sheep, we hear his voice and we follow him. But we don't just hear his voice. We trust his voice. Why? Because he cares for us. He provides, right? He cares and protects us and guides us and all those many blessings that we receive from Christ, from God. I want to look at a few of them. I don't know if we'll get through all 10. And some of you, when you saw 10 on that list, you were like, we ain't getting through this tonight. It's a good guess. We probably won't. But I want to look at a few of these. So the first one, and we're just going to kind of go through them, talk a little bit, and then move on to the next one. The first one is a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge may be a hindrance to hearing from God. What do you mean by that? This knowledge is more than the gospel, more than conversations about God or hearing sermons about God, but a personal relationship, personal knowledge of God that comes from studying his word. So it starts with the gospel, but it grows from there, right? We hear his voice when he calls to us in the grave, come forth, as he did with Lazarus, and we're resurrected, we're quickened in Christ, right? Or we're given new life. But as we grow in Christ, we grow in our understanding of his leading and his guiding. So again, it comes from a studying of God's word. It is the source of our growing faith, right? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's not just true in salvation, although it is. It's even true in our walk with Christ. Our growing faith comes from the word of God. And that word there is the word rhema, which means the words, the actual words, the written word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word there is the word logos, or mind of God. So when Jesus is called the word of God, as the second member of the Trinity, he is the manifestation of the mind, the thoughts of God. He is displaying and communicating the thoughts and heart and mind of God. That's the word of God in the sense of who Christ is. When Paul says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, he's not referring in that verse to Jesus, although we know Jesus is the author of the word. He's referring to the actual written word. So how do I grow in my faith? I need to spend time in his word, right? Growing in the knowledge of his word. And we don't get discouraged when we see another believer that we believe is so far ahead of us, because we do this a lot. We play the comparison game. Man, if I could only be as spiritual and as wise as so-and-so, because man, they have a walk with Jesus. I promise you, if you knew them like Jesus knows them, you would know they have struggles too. They have issues. But isn't this how we do? We do this with everything, by the way. If I had a marriage like that, now that marriage is a great, I mean, they're perfect. Live with them for 20 minutes. They're not perfect, I promise you. Right? If only my kids could act like those people's kids. Those kids are angels walking around here. They're not. They're not angels, okay? I promise you. But we do that a lot, and we do that in the Christian faith too, and we end up discouraging ourselves. I'm not saying we can't be encouraged by brothers and sisters and listening and learning and gleaning from their wisdom, but don't play the comparison game where you think, man, I'm struggling in my study of God's word, or I'm struggling in prayer. We all are. We all have. Right? We will again at some point. We need to know that God is working on us, right? He's not forgotten you because you missed a day of devotion. Your salvation is not dependent upon your performance as a Christian. Praise God that it's not, right? Because if it was, we would all fall short. The reason we spend time with the Lord is not so that he'll love us more or keep saving us. The reason we spend time with him is because he loves us as much as he does, because he saves us continually and sustains us, and we want to just grow in that relationship with him. And so we grow in the knowledge of him. I love what J.J. Packer said. A little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him. Now, it's not about knowing a lot about him. It's about knowing him personally. So a lack of knowledge could be a hindrance to hearing from God. Secondly, a poor self-image. Now, I want to unpack this a little bit because we live in a culture that has kind of hijacked that understanding. But a poor self-image. Again, this is the mindset that says, why would God want to speak to me? Even as a Christian, we question this. We can feel inadequate and believe in a lie that I am not worthy. Apart from Christ, am I worthy of his attention to spend time with me? No. But that's the beauty of the grace that he gives. He doesn't want a relationship with you because you earned it. He wants a relationship with you because he created you in his image, and you are valuable and worthy of his attention because he made you in his image. You have value and worth. Again, naturally, we are not worthy of his love and affection. However, he speaks to us not because we have earned it, but because we desperately need him to reveal himself to us. You and I have intrinsic value because you are made in the image of God. God doesn't love you and keep loving you because you perform and you've merited it and you've earned it. No, this is why all life is sacred. Preborn life and after a child is born, all sacred, all worthy of protection, all needs to be protected, because that human being in the womb and outside the womb is made in the image of God. Doesn't matter what they do with their life. Doesn't matter how much money they make, how successful they are. They're valuable and they're worthy of protection. In Christ, as a follower of Christ, he conforms us to the image of his Son through his word and by his Spirit. God knows us intimately, and when we receive Christ, we are saved and sanctified. Psalm 139, I think you have this in your notes. Psalm 139 is an amazing reference. I encourage you to look it up. Many of you probably have read this psalm. But the reality is God knows every part of us and yet still loves us. So think of yourself as a child of God. In Christ, he is your heavenly Father and wants to speak to you. Having a proper self-image is not elevating self, but elevating Christ and his truths about us. In the world, self-image is your king, your everything, you matter. It's all about you, right? Whatever makes you feel good, whatever helps. In Christ, we are good. Check. One. Okay. And the sound man delivers again. All right. Number three. We'll look at number three and then see where we're at. So number three. So we have lack of knowledge is one of the reasons that we may be hindered in hearing from God. A poor self-image, thinking less of ourselves than the Word of God calls us to, or maybe even thinking more of ourselves than the Word of God calls us to. And then number three, a false sense of guilt. A false sense of guilt. So there's two forms of guilt that we face in this life. There's true and false guilt. True guilt is from conviction of guilt and leads to repentance. This is good and healthy. So what's an example of this? I sin in some way. It could be in the world's eyes, small, could be big, but I sin in some way. And as a follower of Christ, what does the Spirit do when I give into sin temptation? What does the Spirit do for us as followers of Christ when we sin?
Convict,
right? Usually, it's that leading us to the truth, right? Making us aware. Isn't it amazing? At least for me, I can't speak for you, but for me as a follower of Christ, there's been very few times that I sinned and I didn't know it was going to be a sin. There were times where you would do something and go, oh, that was kind of dumb. I probably shouldn't have done that. But isn't it amazing that like we have the Holy Spirit leading us before saying, I wouldn't, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't say that. You probably don't want to be in this conversation. And then we have a choice to make, right? We're either going to obey. And what's the blessing in obeying? Man, we're kept from that thing. And we feel the joy and the peace and the contentment to know that, Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave me that wisdom and I honored you in that. But if we're being honest, what happens when we don't obey? Then there's conviction and guilt. But that's good and healthy. Why? Because what's that conviction intended to do? Not to beat us down or make us feel defeated. What's it intended to do? Draw us back to Christ. That we would cry out in repentance and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Would you give me the strength to learn from that, not to repeat that, to grow from this, right? Help me to make amends where I can in this regard or whatever it might be. That's good. But our flesh likes to use false guilt against us. This is when the flesh or even our enemy Satan through the world will try to remind us of forgiven sin as reasons God doesn't want to speak to us. We've repented. We've turned. We've trusted in Christ. We're walking in victory. And then when you start spending time with him, those nagging thoughts, that nagging little voice in your head that says, God doesn't want to talk to you. Why are you spending time with him? He doesn't even love you anymore. You did this. You can't do that and walk with Christ. Who are you? And so we start believing these lies of the enemy and we give into false guilt. But the reality is we need to reject false guilt and believe God at his word, which says if we repent and we trust in Christ either to be saved or we repent as followers of Christ and we turn from that sin, we're restored, we're picked up, and we move forward, right? We don't live and wallow in it like a pig in the pig pen. We get up and we leave and we move forward. This is why I love that his grace is strong enough to forgive every sin. Much more abounds. I love that Paul says that. He doesn't match them. It's not where sin abounds, grace abounds. It's where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Over an abundance of what sin is. And so again, sin is a reality. We need to deal with it. When we struggle or fall into sin, we repent and we turn from it and we face that conviction. And it's such an evidence of our salvation. When you sin and are convicted, that's evidence that you walk with Christ. If you don't feel that conviction, if you don't feel the Spirit drawing you back to him, I would strongly encourage you to consider what is it in your past that makes you believe you're a follower of Christ? At what point did you make a decision that you believe meant you were converted and turned to Christ? Because if you can sin willfully and not feel the conviction of the Spirit, now I'm not talking about people have told me, you know, well, when I was in my 20s or my 30s, you know, I walked away from the Lord for a little while and I came back and they would tell you, you know, initially it felt great. I had somebody tell me they walked in, they were living in sin and didn't, just kind of ran away from the Lord for a season and they felt good about it for a season. And then once the initial pleasures of whatever went away and kind of faded away, guess what came? The conviction, right? And that pulling. And they told me, they said, I would tell people I was fine. I would tell you I was happy. But when I laid my head on my pillow at night, then the Spirit really started to work on me. And I knew what I was doing was wrong. See, that's the difference between a follower of Christ struggling with sin and an unsaved person who's maybe a churchgoer, maybe a religious person who's not struggling with sin, who's just living in sin. And so conviction is needful. What a gift of God that he would give us the Spirit to comfort us, but also to convict us. And I forget if it was Calvin or who it was that said that the Christian life is a life of repentance. This is why every day we preach the gospel to ourselves. We remind ourselves every day of what the gospel is and what it's done for us and what we need to be doing as followers of Christ. Because again, there's none righteous, no, not one. And we become righteous in Christ, but guess what? We still walk in the flesh. So to be careful there and realize conviction is good, but when we've repented of that sin, we've entrusted it to Christ, and we've turned from that sin, it's over. And do you know that what's interesting is God doesn't bring that sin back up? We learn from it. We look back and we don't want to repeat that, so we learn from it. But God's not sitting there going, hey, remember when you did this 2 weeks ago? Remember when you did this 5 years ago? That's only the enemy. Only the enemy and the flesh will do that. God is not wanting to remind us of those things. He's reminding us of what? Who we are in Christ. And so as a side application, if we're walking with somebody who struggles with sin and they've repented and turned from that sin and walking anew with Christ, what should our encouragement to them be? Should we constantly remind them of what they were? Where they were? No. If they are struggling in that area, we can help them and give them wisdom, but we push them forward. We encourage them forward for Christ. And so again, we must let go of false guilt, because if we're living with that false guilt, we believe God is not wanting to talk to us and hear. We don't want to hear from him. Number four, a preacher I know used to say, if you're too busy for God, you're just too busy. And it's true. If we really can't make time for him in the course of a day, we are really too busy, and then something's got to go. I'll always remember when I was in Bible college, and it was kind of said tongue-in-cheek. I never had to go through this, but I had a couple friends who said they were called into the dean's office and had this conversation. At BBC, they had chapel twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Everyone went to chapel. No excuses. You always were in chapel. But you were allowed, in the course of a semester, 4 absences. Okay, so you can miss 4 times from end of August through December. Okay, if you missed more than 4, on the 5th one, you got called into the dean's office and you had to kind of have a conversation. It was a lecture. I didn't do a lot of, my friend didn't do a lot of talking. I got called into the dean's office for something else, but that's not important. That's irrelevant. He was a great guy. He was a Michigan fan. He was from Michigan, lived outside of Detroit. So the one time I got called in, I think we talked about the issue for like 10 minutes, and then 45 minutes we talked about Michigan football. I was very okay to change the subject. I was like, yeah, you're right. So how about Michigan this year? What do you think? How are they going to do? Well, I don't know, John. And we were done and over with. But this one friend of mine, he said he went in, and because he had missed like 5 chapels, they pulled out his schedule of all of his classes and said, apparently, you have too large of a class load. You can't make chapel. So what class would you like to drop so we can make sure chapel is going to be attended? And my friend said he was just kind of like, we're already like 3 months into that. I'm not going to get my money back. And they said, oh, no. You won't get your money back, but chapel's more important than the class you're going to drop. So what do we need to do to make this happen? Needless to say, that kid didn't miss a 6th chapel, right? But what was the heart behind that? This is a priority. And if we can't make this happen, what do we got to change to make this happen? Because this is so important. So if we're too busy, we're too busy. First, we need to be honest about our priorities when handling busyness. Then we need to realize that we do not need to shrink responsibilities, but abide in Christ no matter what or where. So it's not so much about, oh, I can't do this anymore. I got to remove my job. There's responsibilities we have to perform. We have to do those things. So what do we need to do to make it happen where we can either add to or take away? So maybe I lose a little sleep, but I add that time with the Lord. If we really think it's a priority, we're going to make it happen. And so again, that's the point of it. Let quiet time with Christ be your escape at the end of the day, especially a busy day. So if we're so busy and we're running and we get home, if you're like me, there's a point in the night where we just shut off. We're just like, I just need to shut down. And I hate to say this, I'll be real with you guys tonight. This is like the 3rd confession, so hopefully you'll show me grace. But there's been some times, and if you know, my wife and I, we love ministry. But there's some days where it's ministry heavy, lots of talking. Love it, love the fellowship. But there's some times we'll get home and we'll be sitting on the couch and the kids are in bed and, I don't know, 9:30 or so, we'll look at each other and if we need to get out in the next few minutes, I'm good. And we say it jokingly, we kind of laugh about it. But it's true, there's sometimes it just gets in the day and you're just like, you're done, right? And I understand that, and we can rest and we can relax. But if we're having that kind of a crazy day and we haven't spent time with him, maybe let time with the Lord be that rest, be that way of escape, not just into sports, which is usually my thing. At the end of the day, I'll put a game on, something like that, just kind of zone out. That's fine, but if I haven't spent time with the Lord, that needs to happen first, right? That needs to be a priority. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God give you calmness in the course of a busy day. Again, there's nothing wrong with relaxing at the end of the day, but we will have ultimate peace and rest in him when we spend time with him. And so again, if you're so busy, and I've had people tell me this, I really want to study God's word more consistently, but I'm just so busy. And I remember in college, we did a thing in one of my classes. We tracked all of our time for a week. We picked like a Monday, a Thursday, a Saturday, a Sunday. We picked like so many days of the week. And then we just, for 24 hours, we tracked what we did in those days. I was blown away with the amount of time I had on my hands. Just hours. And I felt so, I mean, I was working 25 hours a week, 18 hours of class, church, the whole nine. And I thought, I'm so busy. And I start tracking it out, and I'm like, I got all kinds of free time. And I started thinking back, and I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I kind of wasted some time here, wasted some time there. And so I encourage you, if you're sitting here thinking, I'm just so busy, I just can't make this work, just for a week, so between now and next Tuesday, just pick a few days and track 24 hours and see all the blocks of time you could be maybe using for time with the Lord. And hopefully that would be a help to you to see that, yeah, we are busy, right? And there's busy times. We've got something going on every night of the week this week, right? It's just one of those weeks. It happens. But there's time. We just have to see it as a priority. Pastor Tom, who used to be the pastor here, always said, if you don't schedule your time, someone else will. So take the initiative. Block out some time. And it doesn't have to be an hour. We read about all these great giants of the faith in church history, and, you know, they spent 4 hours and 6 hours, and they got up at 3 a.m. and prayed for five hours, and great, that's awesome that they did that. Maybe for you, it's literally 15 minutes, just 15 minutes. And then maybe after doing that for a few days, it's a half hour. Don't look at it like, I got to spend this much time with the Lord. Look at it like, I want to spend time with the Lord. Here's a block of time I could spend, and let's just see where it goes. Because sometimes you'll be in your time of prayer or devotional, and time will fly by, right? Some mornings it's not going to feel that way. I don't know if you've ever had this happen. I know this is not a very spiritual thing to say. But you ever been in devotion and you pray and you feel like that was like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and you go, 10. That was 10 minutes. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Don't think of it like I got to check off the minutes. It's about the relationship. It's about the intimacy. So let it be that. Last one, number 5. Oh, go ahead, Jeff. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's not even intrinsically sinful, right? It's just the daily things we do endure, go through, and they can overwhelm us and take that time away. Right? Absolutely. And in principle, we can definitely see that in that parable, for sure. Absolutely. And we got to be guarded against that. If we feel that happening, recognize it and set that time, right? Block out that time. Last one, unbelief. So now this doesn't mean unbelief in the sense of not a believer, but as a believer, God's children, or God desires to speak to all of his children, not just the elite few. When we hear stories of how God moved in someone else's life, we cannot dismiss it as unique or freak moments, or, man, I wish I had that kind of faith. Believe he wants to speak to you and open your ears to his words. When I say unbelief, I mean it would be like somebody standing up and saying, you know, sharing, man, I was in my devotional time and it was just so amazing. God was just kind of opening my eyes to some scriptures and he was applying it in some cool ways and I just felt so close to him and it was just an awesome time. And then in prayer, I just felt God moving and all of that. And most of the people are like, that's really cool. And you're sitting there like, why not me? I haven't had that experience in a long time. But we remind ourselves, we believe he wants to speak to us, but the experience may be different. And we don't live for experiences, right? We don't want to just the experience of those things. We want the relationship. And sometimes time with him is going to seem, and I use this word not in a bad way, I guess, but kind of routine, right? I truly believe the majority of the Christian, there's times he moves and it's amazing, but sometimes it's just the normal course of the day. And that's okay too. Why? Because if we're in his word, he's still communicating with us. And when God does move in someone's life, don't think, well, yeah, but that's them. They're so much more spiritual than I am. No, God wants to move in your life as well. But we need to be open to it, right? It's amazing to me how often Scripture speaks about the dullness of hearing, right? Our ability to hear, we need to be ready and active and engaging the Word, right? Listening to what He has for us. So we believe He wants to speak to us. We anticipate Him speaking through His Word, and we open our ears to His words, and we open our hearts, and we open our minds. And I really want to encourage you, when you come into church, when you come to a service, when you go to your personal devotional time, spend a few moments praying before you sit down, before you get the coffee, before anything else, before you walk through the doors, or maybe come on in, grab a quick minute, sit down in the back, say a quick prayer, and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to hear from You today. Again, I'm not talking about audibly. It may not even be this big moment, but God, I just want to hear from Your word today. Would You just give me a readiness to receive what You have for me? Sometimes we don't pray that prayer, and He speaks, and it's amazing. Sometimes we don't pray that prayer, and we walk out, and this is where people will tend to say, I didn't get anything out of that message. Man, I didn't get anything out of that. I was always amazed in college when kids would leave chapel and go, ah, that guy was okay. I was like, that was an awesome message. That was amazing. And then sometimes I'd walk out being like, eh, it was all right. And someone else would be like, I've never heard such good preaching, right? I've had people after a service will say, man, your sermons just seem to be so hitting on these things, and it's just so deep, and what are you doing different? I've heard that before. What are you doing different? They don't mean it anything as like, it's a compliment. I understand that. It's not like your messages were really shallow before, or now they're really deep. No, they're meaning it as a compliment. What are they saying? They're just seeming to get a lot out of it. I have found, and I told this one person recently who asked this, and I kind of smiled and I said, honestly, nothing. And they were like, oh no, come on, you gotta be, I said, no. I said, I'm studying the same. I believe it's all the same. I haven't noticed anything different. Do you know what's different though? That person in that season, for whatever reason, their heart was open to the word. Because it's not me. It's not my ability to communicate the word, which is average at best. It's God working in His word. What does the Bible say? When the word goes forth, it will not return void. Another way to say it is it's not going to return fruitless. It's going to do its intended purpose. So I'm amazed when people say those things. It's so exciting because that tells me, man, they're looking for the Lord to move. They're personally seeking after Him. And so again, if you are in a state where you feel like, man, I read the word and it's just like, I don't know, it's just not there. Ask yourself, is my heart believing and anticipating God doing something? Or am I just kind of going through the motions? So again, it kind of falls on us to say, Lord, I want to hear from You. Because here's the truth, we just don't always pay attention. At least I know that's true in my life. And so hopefully this is an encouragement to you. We'll look at the next five next Wednesday. But encourage you as you spend time with the Lord this week, seek His face, pray, read His word. If it's just a few verses, if you don't know where to start, just go to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel, any one of the Gospels, and just a chapter a day. Just read a chapter a day for a few moments in the morning. Spend some time in prayer before, read, and pray after. And I promise you, do that consistently, and you'll see your attitude will change, your mindset will change. I truly believe our anxiety goes down, our joy rises, right? Not that it's a magic wand that takes away all of our problems. There's still problems and trials. But all of a sudden, we look at our day differently, right, when we're going at it with God's word. So I do want to spend some time in prayer. So because of the blessing, and I don't know that this will continue, it may or may not, but because of the blessing of all of the children and the small groups that we have this year for Word of Life, the men, we usually use the office for our prayer time, and it sounds like there might be a small group that would benefit from using that space instead of us, just because of the store going on in the one room and noisiness and all that. What we're going to do, at least for the time being, is we're going to spend our time in prayer together. So we won't be breaking up into men and women's groups. We'll just spend our time in prayer together, and then we'll wrap up at 8:10, 8:15 like normal. All right? So I do have prayer guides, so we can start passing those around if you guys want to take one and pass it around. Well, Andy needs one. William doesn't. Yeah, pass it around.